but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, our jurors are in the jury room. If you'd like to join the BFT jury, you can. 503-417-7575. Every time I give the phone number on the show, I come perilously close to shouting out my own phone number. I don't know if that would be necessarily good. So I do every single time. I go 503, and I have to be very disciplined. All right, our BFT jurors are in the deliberation room. We have Michael Llewellyn, longtime Blazers executive, formerly with media companies and the University of Portland. He's just dabbling in retirement now. I'm told he may be making a comeback. We'll find out. But Llewellyn's in the jury deliberation. Craig Birnbach, the longtime sports anchor and reporter, is part of the jury. John Strong, the voice of American soccer, the lead soccer play-by-play voice on Fox Sports. You've heard him on the World Cup. You've also heard him call some eating contests right here on this show, more importantly. He also was the subject of Megan Rapinoe kicking soccer balls at him in the hallway one time on this radio show. It's one of the most viewed videos of Megan Rapinoe kicking soccer balls in a hallway on YouTube, by the way. You can check that out. They're part of the BFT jury. I'm going to give the questions up front, and then you'll hear me unpack them. Topic number one, since we're on the topic and the subject of the NBA, what are the NBA playoffs guilty of right now? Are they guilty of being great, bad, predictable, unpredictable, something else? Our jurors will unpack that. Topic two, politicians posturing like they're going to make a difference in college athletics. The president putting together a committee or a commission. Nick Saban is the co-commissioner. The lawmakers are rattling the sabers. Are they guilty or not guilty of being in a position to really do something? I guess it's a ham-handed way of me saying, are they going to do something or not? It is the BFT jury, because it's a Friday.
Spanning the city, in search of sports fans willing to explore the constant variety of sport and opinion. These sports freaks are prepared to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the bald-faced truth.
He's asking you if you'll swear to tell the truth.
This isn't 12 angry men stuck in a jury room. It's Boulder.
Kindly address this court as your honor.
Welcome, the Bald-Faced Truth Jury.
503-417-7575. I will open the floor to the audience. That means you. After our BFT jurors have deliberated these topics, you can join in as well. Michael Llewellyn, longtime Blazers vice president. Or was he a president? We'll find out here in a moment. Also in the entertainment world as an executive, also on campus at the University of Portland as a VP. He's joining us now. Were you a president or a vice president over with the Blazers? I think you were VP.
I was vice president for corporate communications, so I was on the business side of basketball as opposed to basketball operations. So,
all right.
7 fun years, and we made the playoffs, I think, every year but one while I was working there. So some good times, my man.
You should figure out the team's record while you were employed, and you should put that on your bio. Like, hey, the Blazers were under my – because coaches do it. Why not executives?
You're talking to somebody who hung up his jump shot in 1978, so right. I don't think I should do that.
All right, let's talk about the NBA playoffs, because it's been a weird kind of playoff, especially the second round. It's getting a little interesting. But what are the NBA playoffs guilty of in your mind right now?
Yeah, I think they're guilty of the unpredictability aspect of it. I think when you've got a situation where, you know, Cleveland was going in as the top seed in the East and they're down 2-0 to the Pacers, you know, that's certainly not what people expected. We've already lost both Los Angeles teams in the NBA playoffs, and you know very well how the NBA likes to keep those large markets involved in the postseason. So the Knicks certainly, by being up 2-0 against Boston, you know, keeps that market in play. But I think the unpredictability aspect is what the league is enjoying. Now, let's not forget the thing the NBA hates most of all is a sweep, especially in the playoffs. So they're not rooting for the Pacers, and they're not rooting for the Knicks to, you know, to sweep 4-0. But I think it's an unpredictability season for us in the postseason this year.
What? Can you help us? Was that ever said? Did you ever hear, like, the commissioner or an associate commissioner or somebody in a back hallway go, hey, we need a seven-game series? Or is it just sort of implied that these games are worth $1 million plus when they get played?
I'm not a conspiracy theorist when it comes to those kinds of things. You know, no frozen envelopes, you know, no kinds of things going on wonky with the NBA lottery. But they certainly want the playoffs to extend because, you know, the playoffs provide momentum into the draft. They provide momentum into this into Summer League. And, you know, the Blazers are already having some pre-draft workouts now. So they want to maintain as much momentum as they can as you head into the summer, and nothing would short-circuit that worse than a bunch of sweeps in the postseason.
Michael Llewellyn, I'm going to put you back on hold. We'll come back to you. What are the NBA playoffs guilty of? John Strong, Fox Sports lead soccer broadcaster, joining us now. Strong, do you remember Megan Rapinoe kicking soccer balls at you in the hallway, first of all?
I still have the ball in my office, and it's got scuff marks on it, so yeah.
Nice. You did well that day. You did better than I thought you were. So, I, you know, credit to you. It was a very small goal. I don't know how you could have got out of the way of some of those, but she hit you more than you blocked them. But you did well that day.
And I almost got seriously injured because I couldn't get out of the way. So we all survived it well.
Did you know at that time she was going to go on to become Megan Rapinoe, or did you just think really good soccer player, you know, and this is a great, funny radio bit?
I knew she was already a star in Portland. She was a star at the University of Portland. She played for the United States. I don't think any of us could have predicted the polarizing at times, but undeniable cultural icon, one of one, that she later became. No.
John Strong, what is the NBA playoffs? What are the playoffs guilty of right now?
The NBA playoffs are guilty of shutting some people up, which I find phenomenal. And I will preface this by saying, I don't know when the last time was I actually watched really any NBA basketball at all, like multiple years now, largely because this time of year especially is my busy season. But I was really annoyed at the narratives around the NBA a few months ago. The way that television ratings are weaponized in the culture wars, the way that the NBA becomes a punching bag in the culture wars in a way that other leagues aren't, it's early season stuff. You can't waste your time with that. And the fact that the numbers have been as good as they have, the fact that the NBA has signed a gargantuan media deal, I would much rather be the NBA right now than Major League Baseball or the NHL. No one competes with the NFL. They're in a class of themselves. The fact that these playoffs have been so surprising and unpredictable, and I, you know, Mark Stein saying, like, there's a bunch of teams that could win it, I think is wonderful. There absolutely are some systemic challenges for the NBA through their regular season. There's absolutely a weird disconnect between the way that the NBA is kind of reduced to yelling and screaming about star players in some mainstream sports shows and the reality of the league and the types of stars that are in the league. But I think it's been a really good time for a great playoffs. I hope for the NBA's sake it continues. And by the way, you know, when their new media deal kicks on in and they're on NBC and they're on Prime Video, it's actually a really, really good time for the NBA, despite some of the odd narratives that I think really missed the point a few months ago.
Let me ask you, because I asked Michael Llewellyn kind of in his space as an NBA executive, you're a broadcaster. When, you know, when you are calling a series, or if you imagine a football game or maybe a baseball series or an NBA series, are the broadcasters rooting for good games, interesting storylines? Long series, take us inside kind of the back rooms at Fox and other places you've worked.
it's undoubtedly a conversation that makes you squirm in your seat, because there's no doubting the NFL, the NBA, MLS, whoever, your more popular teams being in your championship games are good for business. We're going to have a better World Cup next year on Fox if the U.S. goes on deep run and if Messi and Ronaldo in Brazil go on a deep run. That's the reality of sports. The most popular teams drive the biggest numbers. The way I heard it phrased once in a baseball context is a five-game series, you can generally get your money back and kind of come out even. A six-game series, you can make some money. A seven-game series, you could really do well in the way that those are structured. But, yeah, it's tough, because if you go too far down that road, then it does turn into conspiracy theories. It does turn into elements of favoritism and things like that. So it's absolutely a legitimate conversation, even if a conversation that no one really wants to have.
Love it. John Strong, hang on. We'll come right back to you. Craig Birnbach, longtime sports anchor and reporter. What are the NBA playoffs guilty of, Craig?
Well, first of all, let me just say, it's totally unfair that you put me behind Michael Llewellyn and John Strong on those types. Those two guys have two of the greatest voices, like, in the Northwest history. And then you got you and me, who sound like 13-year-old boys, you know, at their bar mitzvah with their voices cracking. I mean, like, come on, it's totally unfair. I mean, Llewellyn sounds like every word that comes out of his mouth is laced in gold. John Strong's the voice of American soccer, and then it's the two doofuses. Like, it's not fair.
It must mean that we have the content. We must have the knowledge.
Something. I'm bringing something. What I will say about this jury is, if this is an actual jury, I would be dinged and knocked off this jury in a second, because I am not objective. These are the greatest playoffs so far in the history of the NBA, because I am a Knicks fan, and it has been amazing. And we are up 2-0 against the Boston Celtics, who for my entire life has just embarrassed us. We haven't been to a conference finals in 25 years. Let me just also say, if the Knicks blow the 2-0 lead to the Boston Celtics in the second round of the playoffs, these are the worst playoffs in the history of the NBA. Because I am not objective when it comes to this at all. But I will say, I know they're good, at least, especially the Knicks series against Detroit and now Boston, because everyone texts me after that's not a Knicks fan. And first they want to know if I'm alive, because they are concerned about my health and my blood pressure. But they're also like, that was amazing. The Knicks six games in a row, I think, have come down to one possession. I will say that I think that there's been some stinkers, but, I mean, Denver's won two games in fashions that you've never seen. I mean, and I've never seen a dunk at the buzzer, and I've watched thousands of games that they had a review. And the Nuggets to somehow win that game at OKC, fantastic. So I think right now they're guilty of greatness, but don't ask the guy wearing the blue and orange hat today. You know, you're not going to get the right answer.
Craig Birnbach, putting you on hold. We'll come back on the second topic. Michael Llewellyn, he does have a voice for radio. Have you ever done radio, Llewellyn?
I sure have. In the early days of my career, when I was a sports writer in Arkansas, I also did, and this was the old days when you didn't have a lot of computer stats at your hand. I did some play-by-play college basketball for the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, a SWAC team, and I also did a little college basketball as well, as along with being a sports writer at the Pine Bluff Commercial in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So once upon a time, my friend, once upon a time.
Let's go to topic two, because this one is interesting. The president's got a commission that he's forming to help solve college athletics. Nick Saban talking with the president. You've got lawmakers rattling the sabers and posturing. Will they be able to do anything, or is this just the politicians politicianing or politicking, or I don't know how that goes. What do you think, Llewellyn?
I'm worried if you're trying to have politicians make a business decision about sports and how sports should operate. That worries me. I mean, the President of the United States took it upon himself to fire the head librarian of the Library of Congress yesterday. So when you have those kinds of things going on, I worry if you take those folks and put them in the middle of something like legislating how sports should run. I am worried, like you. I mean, the Wild Wild West that we see with NIL, the Wild Wild West that we see when it comes to the transfer portal, a lot of that is happening because the NCAA, you know, let the horse out of the barn, and now they're trying to chase it down from behind, and that's the hardest thing in the world you can do. I would prefer that we not have, you know, major hearings and things like that where people are pontificating for the sake of fundraising politically and trying to regulate sports at the same time. I worry about that, John. I think there's got to be a better way to do it. The unfortunate thing is that if politicians do get involved, it'll be huge visibility, as you know, and then they won't be able to resist jumping in the middle of it. The other fear I would have, John, if we did turn it over to the politicians to really set up the regulations, it would take forever to get it done. And God forbid if there's a change in party leadership in either of the chambers or in the White House in the middle of all this stuff, then you press the restart button and you go back to the beginning. So that worries me. It really does.
Michael Llewellyn, you're the best. Thank you for being part of the jury. There he is. John Strong, voice of American soccer on Fox, joining us. Politicians want to help fix college athletics. Will they be able to make a difference?
Well, I mean, they're going to do something, whether it's the right thing or not, I think becomes the question. But also, is there a right thing to do? And it's interesting because I'm just come home today. I've been in Eugene the last 3 days. I was actually in Rob Mullen's office for a meeting on something else yesterday, the Oregon Athletic Director, and these conversations were coming up. I was a part of an event earlier today with the Oregon football team. And at one point was in a room with all the freshman football players, and it's like, oh my goodness, these are such young kids. So I'm seeing this, you know, just in the last 24, 36 hours, from all sides of all the different good and bad in this. And I'm even myself, I'm not quite sure what the right answer is here. And the metaphor I would use is, you know, a dam that has burst and the water is rushing and the water is unstoppable and it's destroying everything in its path. And I don't really know what you do here, because any solution is going to have some really bad unintended consequences. But I would agree, and I think one of the lawyers involved in the House settlement phrased it this way, where, you know, we've been trying to thoughtfully work our way through possible solutions here in the settlement. To have politicians now parachuting into it probably isn't helpful. And I would also say I'm wary of, you know, Nick Saban's worldview and the solutions he would propose, and if he has the president's ear, I'm not sure that Nick Saban is the right person to be trying to wield a sledgehammer for solutions here. So it's not great. It's not great all the way around. There's no good solutions. There's a lot of bad ideas, and you're trying to pick the worst bad idea. And I don't know that a presidential commission, politicians involved, I get why people want that. There are people involved that just want to be told what the rules are and we can get on with it. I'm just not convinced that's going to be a great solution.
John Strong, you're the best, man. Thank you for joining us. And you're down there at Oregon, and we'll get some intel on that, working with those young kids. What's it like to talk with a bunch of freshmen?
Well, I luckily wasn't talking to them. I was in the back of the room watching. But I will say it was fun with a number of the players today who are really interested in sports broadcasting. It was really interesting talking with them, but also some of the conversations about life and pressure and work-life balance and some of those things. It's a wonderful opportunity for me to get to know some of these young men as young men college students away from the sort of modern gladiators we make them into in their helmets and pads on Fall Saturday. So I really enjoy it every year.
I had a moment this last season where I told Dylan Gabriel, I'm like, you know, isn't college great? You know, it's going to get more complicated for you when you're professional. You know, next year he's drafted by the Browns. And he said, John, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's the pros now. And they're being asked to grow up fast, aren't they?
Absolutely. And that was a part of the conversation, honestly, from some of the former Oregon players in these presentations, is understand you are professionals now, how you carry yourself, the decisions you make away from the football field, the decisions you make with your time, with the people you associate with. You have to approach your life with a level of professionalization. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. I think that can be a good outcome, is trying to help young men understand earlier the benefits of making good decisions, time management, putting the right people in your life, that can be a good sign, a good part of the professionalization of ostensibly amateur athletes, for as much as I think people have some concerns about it. But yeah, you know, and talking with some of the players about the same pressures and stresses that I deal with in my job that aren't dissimilar from the ones that they deal with in their jobs. And how do you handle that? How do you manage that? I love making those connections one-on-one. Whether they win the national championship or not, it would be cool. It doesn't change my worldview. But I do love, and it's a good reminder that at the end of the day, these are young men, and these are kids, a lot of them. And they have a lot of weird stuff being thrown their way as well that they're trying to manage.
John Strong, have a great weekend. Thank you for being part of the BFT jury. Craig Birnbach gets the last word. The politicians are rattling their swords, Craig Birnbach. Are they going to be able to make a difference in college athletics?
Well, first of all, the NCAA, college athletics, politics, that's what it's been the whole time. They might not have titles like senators and congressmen or president, but this whole thing's been political, as you well know. You've covered everything about this is you know, men in power, most of people in power, adults in power, trying to make decisions that will benefit their universities, themselves personally, their media companies, all along forever and ever, trying to keep the money away from the actual athletes. But that was also a lie, because as we well know, athletes saying athletes don't get paid, when we know they were getting paid, sometimes quote-unquote illegally, sometimes, you know, legally with scholarships and things like that. But what Michael has said and what John has said is that this is what happens when you kick the can forever thinking that you'll be able to maintain something that is not maintainable and everyone else could see it coming, that you can't forever stop this train of having to figure out how to make this sport legitimately professional when it was professional forever. But there's so many aspects to college athletics. Like, John brought up a good point, like Nick Saban. Oh, that sounds like the perfect guy to be able to do this. You know, the greatest college coach ever. Nick Saban doesn't have any idea what it's like to coach in the Big Sky. You know, now, like, he doesn't know what those finances are like and how you're going to be able to recruit and how you're going to stay competitively, how you're going to have a competitive conference that somehow matters to the university. I think it's funny when, you know, Tommy Tuberville threatens, like, well, the president's talking about possibly doing an executive order. To say what? To say what? Like, what is the executive order going to say? Everyone gets paid or no one gets paid? I mean, if they want to do an executive order that says all in-state rivalries need to continue, I'm down with that. You know, I want Washington to play Washington State, Oregon to play Oregon State. I want Rhode Island to play Providence, for goodness sake. Because that's, you know, those are fun. But I am totally where John is. People, you know, we've been around college sports at all levels, everybody on this call, from covering Big South to Southern Conference, covering the Pac-12, SEC, ACC. So we see that whole span of what college athletics, you know, is. And we've known forever that there's no one way to do this. And I do not know how the solutions are going to come. And people have been trying to figure this out now for years and years before, you know, the NIL broke. It's not like people were like, you know, unfortunately, many people in power thought that it would be oppressed. But many were trying to figure out, like, oh, how could this system work? And we don't have solutions. I certainly don't think people that haven't been thinking about it, don't know the intricacies of college athletics, are going to somehow be able to sit down and in a very short period of time come up with a solution. I don't have the solutions. You know, like, they're, it's going to be interesting. Everyone says, well, it'll figure itself out. That's true. Doesn't mean it's going to figure itself out in a way that's positive for college athletics. You know, that's the part that's scary.
Craig Birnbach, I appreciate you. Thank you for being part of the BFT jury. Now we open the deliberation room to you, the listener. Do you have a take on whether or not the, you know, the presidential intervention or politicians intervening would make a difference? And what are the NBA playoffs guilty of? 503-417-7575 is a number. You have the floor.